San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, May 15, 2022. Today's guest speaker is Noble Benning, licensed practitioner, and his talk today is Joyful Living.
Let's anchor ourselves in our belief, as we do each and every Sunday. We believe in God, the living all Spirit Almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existing cause. This one manifests itself in and through all creation, but is not absorbed by that creation. The manifest universe is the body of God. It is the logical and necessary outcome of this infinite self-knowingness of God. Joyful living. How do we prepare ourselves for joyful living? For me, it is the seeds that I have planted in my soil, my mind. We have learned through the science of mind that what we think about comes about. We create that thought. The Bible has told us also that as we know ourselves, as we get to know the God within us, everything else will be given to us. So as we are trying to live and demonstrate this joyful life, how do we open ourselves up to receive that joy? For me, it is recognizing that I am no better or no less than anyone else. And just as God is working through each of us, He has that opportunity to work through me. I am grateful that my mother gave me some tools that have served me tremendously throughout my life, in that she told me I'm no better or no less than anyone else. So as I live that, I don't feel less than, but I don't feel better than anyone else either. So I look at somebody, you're equal to me. When I approach you, you are equal to me. And because of that mindset, it allows me to be more open to the differences that we may have. However, I am always looking for the commonalities that we have. We are taught that there is an omnipresence. Now, whatever my belief is, I want to be that. So if there is omnipresence in me, that means there has to be omnipresence in someone else, or else there's something wrong with my thinking. And if there is an omnipresence in someone else, that's who I want to meet. When I approach each person, I'm looking for the good, the God in them. And scriptures and sages have told us, what we seek, we find. So let us be mindful of that truth. We have all this knowledge, these concepts, they are very beneficial only when you use them. Our Uncle Ernie has told us. He prepared a philosophy called the science of mind, but he also challenges us to use it in your own personal life. He tells us, prove it to yourself that it works. And we have that opportunity each and every day. And before I go any further, I would just like to give a definition of what I found for joyful. My mentor and very dear friend, Reverend John, he told me about Noah Webster and his 1828 dictionary. And that dictionary, it's older, but it references spiritual concepts within the definitions. So he says joyful, adjective, full of joy, very glad, exulting. He gives an example, my soul shall be joyful in my God. And that's from Isaiah 61:10. He also says rarely it has of before the cause of joy. Sad for their loss, however, joyful for their lives. So in the cycle of life, we are going to lose people. However, the thing that we should be mindful of is to be grateful for the time that we got to spend with that individual. God has given me the opportunity throughout my life to practice that concept. And as Reverend John says, it works when you work it. It works when you don't work it as well, because the feelings that you have are real. They're going to impact you, and it is to your benefit to find a source within yourself that gives you the understanding that as a part of living, death is a part of living. So as we experience those things, we should accept it and find something positive out of it. And the thing that I was able to find positive out of it is the gratitude of the experiences that I had with those individuals. They will last me a lifetime, and they brought tremendous joy to me. Living, he says, dwelling, residing, existing, subsisting, having life or a vital function and operation, not dead. Also, issuing continually from the earth, running, flowing as a living spring or fountain, opposed to stagnation. If we're living, we're evolving. And I just wrote down here, my spirit resonates with, my soul shall be joyful in my God, as he works in my life for my good. What we tell ourselves is paramount to what we create in our lives, regardless to if we are aware of this truth or not. The science of mind has provided some powerful concepts that Uncle Ernie has told us to try and see if they work and how they work for you in your life, which I am doing daily. And we all do it. We just have to become conscious of that. We are, as we live life, we're going to have challenges. And that does not mean that it can't be joyful in that process. God has given us all special gifts and talents. It is up to us to find those gifts and talents. And as we find those gifts and talents and we put those out into the universe as a service, we should feel good about that, because whatever that service is we're providing for someone, we are helping them and their life become better. Typically, when we provide any type of service. Like for you, as a veterinarian tech, when you provide the service of helping someone with their animal, how does that make you feel? And for you, now that you're in your masseuse business, as someone comes in and they want your service, when you make them feel good, absolutely. And that is how life works. That is how the joy is available to us as we use those gifts. We are here to love one another. We are here to support one another. We do that through the gifts and talents that God gives us that we share with one another. And I like to keep life simple. And what I mean by that is we have been taught to complicate life. For whatever reason, simplicity is bliss for me. If God is for me, who can be against me? How do I live that in my life so that I can live freely and not think that I'm going to be a failure all the time? And as life would have it, there are plenty of opportunities that life gives us to practice whatever our beliefs are. That's just the way that life works too. That's why we hear that old adage, be careful what you ask for, because life is listening. And whatever you're asking for, life is going to give you the opportunity to work through that. So we really want to be mindful of what we're putting out into the universe. One of the things, as far as being joyful, I think that mind, body, and spirit is essential to doing work in all three of those areas, because if you are not in balance, joy is going to be not as easy to see, because you're going to be distracted by one of those other areas that need work being done. And what I mean by that is, it's very difficult to be joyful if you're in pain. However, if you're in pain, there are things that you can do that would remedy that pain, which is a part of the mind-body-spirit connection. In the Western thinking, from a medical standpoint, we're now getting wiser. However, it has been known for a very long time in the Eastern philosophy that there is a connection between mind and body. Our feelings and emotions, and we're talking about emotions this month, our feelings and emotions create chemicals within our bodies. Those chemicals within our bodies sap into our organs. So if what you're creating is detrimental, then that means your organs are going to have problems. If your organs are having problems, then you're not typically going to be in a place where happiness appears to you. Unless you're willing to accept what is happening, trust that God is still present in this, and then we move forward. If we are coming from a place of love, that is the highest expression of God. So as we're coming from a place of love, the opportunity to find joy is much more available to us than if we choose to think in a different way. I just love that the science of mind has given me some tools about consciously thinking. That is not something that we should take lightly. I have been talking to people recently, and the way of thinking that people are being taught nowadays, where you're not conscious of what you're thinking about. If you're not conscious of what you're thinking about, you can tell yourself anything. Now, we can tell our mind something, but our hearts always know the truth. That is something that God revealed to me years ago, because just a story that I'll tell. I had told myself that my father's love didn't matter. I kept telling myself that. And I believed it. However, my heart knew the truth. So, and the way that it was revealed to me is that I decided to forgive my father. The moment that I decided to forgive my father in truth, there was a physiological experience that I had where the Bible says the weight is lifted off your chest. I actually felt that. I can truly say that I felt that. It was something that was life-changing for me. It brought home the fact that, for me, the heart, you can't lie to the heart. All those years, and I mean, I told myself this for probably 18 years, but all the gook that I had put down in my heart by telling me that, telling myself that, I had a level of joy, but once I had that burden relieved, I opened myself up to so much more joy. So I encourage us to just be mindful. The power of the mind, our thoughts, we're taught that in the science of mind. See it, test it, practice it. That's the only thing that I will encourage you to practice, and joy is available to you. Because that is, as Dr. Connie had said, that's our natural state of being. So if we're not in joy, somehow we have talked ourselves out of our truth. So what we need to do is reconnect to our truth. As we reconnect to our truth, we're going to find that joy, that is our natural state. And we don't have to make it difficult. And it starts by what we tell ourselves. As I have been given various tools and concepts as a practitioner, and I applied those. I actually wanted them to work in my life, and I have found joy. And it is not difficult, because my intention every day is to make the world a better place. Be the change in the world that I want to see. If that is my truth and I truly believe that, then my actions are supposed to support that. And that's how you have a joyful life. Whatever you profess that you want to live, to experience, be that. And be kind to yourself as you are learning how to be that. What I mean by that is that we are almost always forgiving of others. We're understanding of others. We're acceptant of the differences or the failures of others. But we don't give ourselves that same love. Love yourself just the same way that you love someone else. Because again, they're no better, no less than you are. So by loving yourself in that way, you are now setting up a pattern within your life, because as we live lives, we create patterns for ourselves. If you don't like the life that you are living, the results that you're receiving, you have to change the patterns that you created in your life. And we don't have to make it difficult, because we trust that if God is for me, who can be against me? And it is God that put that thought in your mind in the first place that you need to make adjustments. So if you follow that, He will support you and give you everything else that you need. That is what I have found to be true for me as I continue to practice and continue to grow. This is a beautiful world. I like to focus on the affirmative that's out here, and there's plenty of it. Good news doesn't make the news. I have to seek that out. And I encourage each and every one of you, as you are creating that soil to receive, to be mindful of the things that you put into your soil. Because whatever you put into your mind, that is what's going to come back to you. For me, God has revealed to me that my mind is just a recorder. Whatever I put in it, that's what it's going to bring back to me. Once I was able to recognize that and apply that in truth, then if I know that the things that I put in my mind are harmful, why do I want to put something harmful in my mind? And if I'm thinking about it, I can, your spirit knows when it's experiencing something or there's something in it that doesn't feel right. So when that happens, then it is that conscious thinking that allows you to say, hey, wait, I don't want to go down this path. I can take myself down another path and receive the joy. And by taking that other path, now I'm opening myself up for that joy that if I would have went down this path, I don't get to experience it. And I found that as a practitioner, it's taught me to meet people where they are. So for me, as I am supporting others, I have to recognize that I am where I am because of the work that I've done. I can't do someone else's work, but I can support them in doing the work. And I can be understanding and knowing that where they are now, they don't have to be there. And the fact that I don't believe that I'm any better than anybody else, it's easy for me to see myself in my evolution in that person, if that makes any sense. And those things, I think, are little tools that are very important, because we have to have compassion when we are putting ourselves out here in the universe, if we want to make the world a better place, we have to go out there with love and compassion and understanding. And the one thing that I think about, and some of the tools, don't take things personal. I mean, we have these various tools that we learn, but how are we willing? Are we willing to actually apply them? And I get an opportunity to apply them because I do help desk work. So a lot of times, a customer's coming in, he's very angry. He's angry about his situation. It has nothing to do with me. However, and knowing that Don Miguel Ruiz has put in my mind, don't take things personal, I can now actually implement that mindset and know that this isn't about me. This is about him and the difficulties that he's having. And now I can shift so that now I can provide that service that God has given me so that I can make it better for him. And those opportunities will present themselves to you throughout the day if your intention is to make the world a better place. I find that there are so many opportunities. Also, gratitude is so important in that process. And because when I'm able to help someone like that, thank you, God, for allowing me to have this experience. So there's a sense of worthiness that I have in me. I think that we all want to feel that we have value. And as we share our gifts and talents, we are demonstrating that. And we don't want to lose sight of that. A lot of times I found that people take for granted the gifts that they've been given. It is a gift. And we have to honor that as a gift. And that is our purpose. That's a part of our purpose. Our gift is what we are supposed to be giving back to the world. I'm just going in the Science of Mind, page 53, paragraph 3. Ernest Holmes says, we should learn to control our thought processes and bring them into alignment with reality. Should tend more and more towards an affirmative attitude of mind is positive, stable, and above all else, towards a real unity with spirit that is already complete and perfect. That omnipresence is already within us, complete and perfect. We need to be able to unify with that because that is a part of who we are. That is the guide that will allow you to uncover how to live a joyful life. Whenever I've talked to anyone, everyone has acknowledged to me that they have sensed the presence of a spirit within them, a guide that will give them intelligence. Now, it's up to us when we get that to use it. When we do use that, that affords us a joyful living because we are now doing what we're supposed to do. When we're being and doing what we're supposed to do, the outcome is always joy. Or is there something, now, is that not true for you guys? If you're doing what you're supposed to do, do you find joy or is it misery?
Joy.
Right. So it's there and it's not that difficult. And we have to get out of the world mindset. See, that's another thing that I've tried to be conscious of. To be in the world, but not of it. Now, and that doesn't have to be as difficult as we as people will tell us to believe, as religious people will tell us to believe. Because if you control your thoughts and you tell yourself that I don't want to think this way anymore, that is you. And you cannot allow someone else's thoughts that may not be in alignment with yours to now guide you, to be your guide. You want that inner voice within you that you know is giving you advice for your good to be the captain of your ship. My granddaughter can't live my life for me. She can have great ideals about what I should be doing. However, when I get to know myself, ultimately, it's going to be revealed to me what I should be doing. And once that happens, I need to take ownership of that and start following it. The more that you follow the inner voice, see what happens. I can just tell you what has worked for me. And I challenge each and every one here to allow that inner voice within you to be your guide and see what happens if we want to continue to expand. That has allowed me to continue to expand, and it is a great feeling. There was some other things that I had read, and I just want to share some of them. I didn't get that. I can't see it. Oh, there it is. Okay. Okay, in the Uranta book, this spoke to me. Theology may fix, formulate, define, and dogmatize faith, but in the human life of Jesus, faith was personal, living, original, spontaneous, and purely spiritual. The faith was not referenced for tradition nor a mere intellectual belief, which he held as a sacred creed, but rather a sublime experience, a profound conviction which securely held him. His faith was so real and all-encompassing that it absolutely swept away any spiritual doubt and effectively destroyed every conflicting desire. So we have to at times challenge our thoughts to see if, does this make any sense? Is having this thought going to get me where I want to go? Nothing was able to tear him away from the spiritual anchor of this fervent, sublime, and undaunted faith. It also said that, and I liked this, Jesus' great contribution to the value of human experience was not that he revealed so many new ideals about Father in Heaven, but rather that he so magnificently and humanly demonstrated a new and higher type of living faith in God. Never on all the worlds of this universe, until the life of any one mortal, did God ever become such a living reality as in the human experience of Jesus of Nazareth. He believed that the omnipresence was the force that was doing everything for him. And the power of belief. And he's demonstrated that better than anyone that I have read about personally. And that is where I want to get. Where that belief, that faith in the power within me automatically manifests it. There are things that I do too that I'm going to share. I don't pray to a God outside of me. If the omnipresence is within me, I'm praying to that God within me. There are little routines that I do because God has given me the idea that, and I asked for life. I've asked to be able to live for 150 years. So as those thoughts were coming around, God brought to me your body. You know, the container is the one that gives up. So I've asked God to slow my aging down and to continue to self-heal. So there are times when I just go into prayer and meditation and I say, the Father within, you know what needs to be healed. You are the creator of this immune system. And I command you to do the healing that you need to heal. And I just go into that space and allow it to be. Those are just little things that we can do as we are cementing our faith in whatever it is we profess to believe. We have to work it, though. Spirituality is a daily thing. It's not where I don't do anything except on a Sunday. This is an everyday thing. And the more that you do it, you'll find the benefits of doing it. And the more you do it, it becomes automatic as well. Also, I just wanted to share, there were 11 concepts that Vanessa King gave, and she's the head of psychology and workplace, in how to live joyful living. She says, dig for joy. Take a moment once a day to recognize the things that are good in your life. Our brains are naturally wired to focus on what's wrong. And we often overlook the little good things. It's not saying to ignore the bad things, but there are also usually some good things too. And when we recognize those good things, it becomes easier to recognize those good things. When I wake up in the morning, thank you, God, for waking me up. Every day. When I read the last statement, I was taken aback, as that is not the way my brain works. My intention is to be grateful for all things. Things have happened in my life where initially that was a challenge. However, now through continued practice, I can eventually get myself to a place of gratitude, and God allows me to experience joy where there was pain. Find a process that works for you. Number two, create something to look forward to, encouraging a sense of normality by planning for the days ahead. While the pages of our diary sits as empty as London's commuter trains, penciling in the virtual coffee with a friend, a walk outside, or a book to finish will give you purpose each day. Every morning when I get up, I say, thank you, God. So let's go out and meet the God in others that you come in contact with. Number three, connect to reconnect. One of the most important things of feeling happier is our connection with other people. We are here to have relationships. Life without a relationship, I don't know. If we can do something that helps us to stay connected, that amplifies the feeling good effect that we get from other people. Feeling connected is so important for our well-being. Chronic loneliness, in severe cases, can be damaging to our health, as smoking and obesity. So these are just little things to think about. Number four, do something kind for others. In many cases, sadness is a normal human reaction to different life changes and events, but there are some habits that can help with things. If you find yourself feeling a bit down, a great thing to do is something kind for another person. When we do kind things for others, it actually activates the reward system in our brains. It releases the reward neurons, dopamine. If we're doing something for someone else, then it always takes our mind off of our own worries as well. So, and we talked about, you know, how pharmaceutical companies want to give us some drug to compensate for something that our body needs. Our spirits can generate that by things that we do. Be a good friend to yourself. As a practitioner, we were exposed to the concept of being kind to yourself, loving yourself, being patient, understanding, forgiving yourself, just as you do for others. Do it for yourself. Move your body for your mind. Although we don't always act like it, our bodies and our minds are connected. The medical establishment is finally getting into alignment with that. So I look forward to a lot of different medical methodologies in the Western medical arena because of this new wisdom of the mind-body connection. A brisk walk can be as effective as taking prescribed medication, especially for those with mild depression. Make sure you're getting enough movement in your day. Mother Nature cures. There is something in Mother Nature, at least for my spirit. If I'm feeling some kind of way and I go out and just allow my body to release whatever needs to be released, and then it generates whatever needs to be generated, I feel better. I always feel better when I exercise. It's part of who I am. Look for the awesome outside nature. Awesome. God created the heavens and the earth first. So his power, when it was the greatest, is out here. Native Americans, Africans, they commune with nature. They find that it's the powerful place for them. Number 9, manage your social media diets. Twitter, Facebook, those things like that. I have my own beliefs. I don't have an account on any of them. Use that wisely. I mean, everybody is different. However, social media. Everybody that's out on social media is not living in reality, so I don't want to get caught up in somebody that's not in reality. Number 10, accept what you can't control. Do you find yourself trying to change things you have no control over? Accepting that many things are out of your control isn't giving up or giving in. It's simply learning to understand what is in your power. We create so much stress for ourselves by trying to control something that we had no business trying to control. And it's being able to go within to realize that so that we're not hurting ourselves and we can experience that joy in life. Number 11. Don't expect too much of yourself. Don't expect yourself to be perfect, to know all things. If you mess up, it's okay to be open and honest. I'm learning that there's some things that I'm good at, but then there are other things that I'm not. We don't know everything. If there's something that you want to learn about, then it is up to you to put yourself in the area of knowledge that allows you to gain that. And if you're not willing to do it, accept that as well. Life is too short not to enjoy. And as we find that we are joyful living, we are a blessing. We make other people happy because our energy is now affirmative energy. And most people like to be around affirmative energy. I don't know anyone that goes out into the world and wants to have a miserable day. It's just how we prepare ourselves to receive that in which God has for us to receive. This concludes my Sunday morning talk. Thank you for your time and attention. Namaste. Oh.